Snack Bar Games Podcast. And welcome to Snack Bar Games Podcast, episode 249. This time I am here with Andrew, Sean, and Jeff. Henry will be around later. But for right now, let's just get right to it. So Sony had its PlayStation meeting, which unsurprisingly announced the PlayStation 4.
Oh, no, I was completely surprised.
I was completely surprised.
I was expecting more Vita news.
I was expecting some Vita news.
Well, I mean, technically they had some Vita news. Kind of. I mean, a little.
A little bit of Vita news.
All right, okay, so well. I guess we'll just jump right into it. Sony had their big event today. They announced the PlayStation 4. I'm glad they call it the PlayStation 4, not Orbis or anything dumb like that. And they showed off some new games, some old games, and some tech demos, and along with demonstrating kind of the hardware, you know, the hardware itself. So I guess let's start with the hardware itself. What do you guys think of their, like, both in terms of the technological advances that they're bringing forward with the PlayStation 4, and also kind of the whole kind of like connectivity thing, the online streaming stuff, you know, just what were your impressions of all of that?
Okay. So I think first I want to say something positive here.
Yes,
because I was impressed by the presentation. I think it would be really cool to, you know, stream things automatically. I think, you know, the most positive thing I think that exists about the PS4 is the 8 gigs of RAM. That's really all. There are probably people out there that say, oh, you know, we need the capability to show something, you know, with more detail. And I just don't think, like, I feel like we have gotten pretty far with that. There is farther we can go, and clearly we saw some stuff that looked better than what we can do on the current consoles. But I think the main thing is just being able to have, like, scope, you know? Like, the main problem with the PS3 was that Skyrim wouldn't run on it correctly because it required too much, you know, it was doing too much stuff. It wasn't that, like, they were trying to make Skyrim look better, you know? Like, it looked fine. It was just, it was these memory issues that were holding it up. So I think that part's great. I worry about the streaming stuff because there are people out there who don't have to worry about, you know, when you stream video, it chugging, or when you play online, having lag issues. I don't think that's everyone. And I think, say, for example, if you are trying to stream a game while, you know, doing anything else, like, especially, for example, if there's in some way the function of streaming down your game from the server and playing it while streaming it to other people, like, I see there being a lot of bandwidth issues, but the games look really impressive.
Oh yeah, definitely. I mean, we could definitely say that they look nice. They look very nice. But I mean, yeah, I think that's a huge problem. I think, you know, not definitely, you know, there's probably a good part of the American population at the very least that can't do something like this, much less, you know, have to, you know, always connected online. I mean, they didn't say anything about their actual, like, PSN infrastructure, that, or at least not that much. They, like, gave broad ideas of how that stuff would work, but nothing too specific.
We know more about the PS4's online than we did this time last year about the Wii U.
Or that's true.
The day before the release of the Wii U about the Wii U.
So is it just me, or did I see, like, maybe not Miiverse exactly, But some instances during some of the kind of tech demos and other things of like some social integration that wasn't exactly tied to like Facebook or Twitter.
Yeah.
I mean, there was a little of that.
Yeah. I really want to learn more about where it is they're going with that stuff.
Yeah.
Maybe it's their attempt to integrate Home more closely with the rest of it.
Yeah. What I saw was more like the Steam community.
Yeah.
Where,
well, I mean,
like,
isn't it
posts updates based on what you've been doing in games, but not to Twitter, just to your friends list?
Yeah. I mean, and that's kind of basically Miiverse, but maybe a bit more broad. I don't know. It's weird. Again, this is all, you know, speculation because they didn't. They only kind of demonstrated the bigger picture stuff, not so much the like the this is how this is going to work for this game or this game, you know.
Right.
But I definitely was impressed with what they had to show. I think. I think the streaming stuff, if it works, again, I'll promise we don't know. It could completely fail. That it could be pretty awesome. The fact that you can kind of, I think it was, you can jump into your friends' games and play for them. That was,
they did say that once. Yes.
Yeah. So it's, you know, that's interesting. I mean, that I don't know. I don't know if I would want anyone to, I don't know if I would ever want to do that, but the idea is cool, I guess.
I like the idea. What if I could just get someone to jump into my game and then play my game for me the whole time? And I could just sit here and watch it.
Yeah, all right.
You could call it like Super Guide or something.
I mean, wait, is that taken? I'm not entirely sure how this is different from them playing their game and me watching them play their game. But if they could just play my game, then I make progress. So
lets you get trophies for them playing your game. I mean, if you wanted to spoil it down.
Yeah.
You could. I'm sure there will be people out there who are professional pro trophy hunters who can get the most difficult trophies.
Oh, me. No.
Uh-oh.
That's going to be a thing now.
It will be.
Be a thing. Yeah.
People are going to be selling trophies.
Oh, yeah.
Trophy farming. Yeah. It's like, you know, pay me by the hour and, like, here's what I can do. Like,
yeah, man.
There will probably be some sort of, like, organization, like, agency sort of thing where it's like, yeah, I'm the guy who comes in and gets you your platinum for, you know, the new Uncharted or whatever. Like, okay, great.
Yeah, all right, sure.
Black market trophies.
Yeah, I mean,
as long as there's like an auction house for that kind of thing, that Sony can take a cut of.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
All
right.
Yeah.
So, I'm sure. I wouldn't be surprised if they already thought of something like this.
Yeah. That said, this was not part of this.
There is an incredible segue I would love to make right there, but we'll get to that later.
All right. So, I mean, what would you – I mean, like, okay, moving on to the other hardware things. I think basically their answer to the Wii U, which I think I kind of saw coming, which was, hey, you know this PS4 game? Well, you can play it on your Vita as long as you're within range of the PlayStation 4.
Yeah, and own a Vita. Which – But I mean, look, if the latency is approaching as low as it is just for the Vita's game, for the Vita and for the Wii's gamepad, like if it's not identical but it's close, then fine.
Yeah.
Yeah,
okay. Sure.
I have a Vita. I'm probably going to own a PlayStation 4. So.
Yeah, I mean, eventually.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, yeah, that's a cool idea. I mean, they only actually demonstrated one game on it, which is probably the least technically impressive game. So
the
I
most,
don't know.
The most done game.
Yeah. Or also the most done game yet.
As far as, okay. So, let's talk about that. Yeah. The game is called Knack.
Knack.
Yep. It is, it is headed up by Mark Cerny,
who's also in charge of the actual the PlayStation hardware this time around.
Right. Yeah. Which is interesting. And he has quite the pedigree. He was kind of the guy who did Crash and Marble Madness.
Marble Madness. Yeah.
Okay. But yeah, so it's an interesting game. I mean, it basically kind of looks, to me, I say it looks like a DreamWorks movie. Did anybody else get that vibe?
Not Pixar, but
right.
DreamWorks.
Well, yeah, right, because it seemed like, you know, they have like the character designs that seem very, like they had smirks, you know?
Yeah. I feel what you're saying.
Yeah. Anyway. But it looks interesting and admittedly doesn't push, at least doesn't seem to push the hardware too much, but it's very detailed and very lush, and like it seems like the character knack itself is going to have a lot of parts, and that's kind of what it's showing off, is that it can control all these parts at the same time.
Yeah, I think one of the big things they showed was the fact that you kind of like grow and shrink, and you know, maybe we'll have a little Marble Madness callback in there. Maybe you can transform into like a ball form.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
I'll be okay with that. I can see this. I mean, they didn't say anything like anything close to this game will be out at launch, but I see of all of these games, that one being the one that's probably out at launch. Maybe Killzone.
Yeah, I was gonna say Killzone probably.
But I didn't think they could have both. I think, you know, Knack is the game for.
Oh no, we can't have Knack. That would just saturate the market with.
They both start with K.
They do. We can't. Sorry.
Yeah.
So let's talk about Killzone.
It looks like Killzone.
Yep. Great.
Yes.
No, I mean it looked impressive. You know.
It does look very nice. I am probably the one guy on staff who actually cares about Killzone. I think it looks cool. I think that the cool, like the transforming gun they showed off, kind of gave me like an Insomniac vibe, which is always a good thing, because Insomniac likes to make cool weapons. That's the only thing I got going for that one.
Yeah.
But yeah, I it wasn't like a demo that was meant to demonstrate Killzone Shadowfall is what it's called. It's going to be like mind-blowingly different from any Killzone game you play. There's more like this game
is super safe.
Nice.
It's going to focus on looking impressive and be super safe. Yeah. And it will be the launch thing, and then the shooter you actually play will release later, whether that's Destiny, which is confirmed for the PS4 now. We don't need to say that out loud, really. Of course it is. And, you know, probably Call of Duty.
Probably whatever Respawn is working on, which we don't know yet, but I'm sure
I don't know if we'll see that this year.
Ah, who knows?
I mean,
knows?
We may not, but, like, we will
see, I don't think it'll come
Call
out.
Of Duty and Destiny this year on that system. So.
But I think it's very safe, but it looks nice, and I like Killzone, and I like first-person shooters, so that will be probably my launch game if I get it at launch.
Cool.
So, yeah. What else? Oh, yeah, then we move on to whatever Evolution Studios is working on.
Right. Club.
Drive Club, right. One word.
Yeah.
Like snack bar.
Right, but this has an intercap.
Oh, true.
So.
So we should have been snack, capital B.
No,
bar.
We're not that.
No?
Okay. As much as people accidentally say we are not that. Okay, so Drive Club seems like that this is the response to the PS3's teasing and then not having Gran Turismo for a number of years. It's basically you're just going to wait on that. And this is going to kind of, you know, pitch hit for GT for a while.
Yeah, I think while Gran Turismo will probably continue to be, or at least try to be, the most realistic driving sim ever, at least on consoles, I think this is going to be like their, maybe not exactly, but maybe their answer to Forza Horizon or something, something closer to Forza.
Yeah, it's definitely closer to Forza. It's definitely more.
Or test drive, you know.
Yeah. It feels more. How do I put this? That it's not a like a respectful kind of approach to it. The GT is. It's more.
Yeah,
it's more lust based.
Well, that guy was really excited about those cars on stage.
Well, look, I mean, each of those cars probably took like a staff of six people a year to make. So, whatever. Yeah. They're super detailed and it looks impressive. I don't care about sim racing games.
Anyone else here a racing fan?
I mean, I know there are people who do it. I've met a lot of people who are super into that, and it's like, whatever, they buy, you know. I know a guy who's just like, yeah, well, I bought the PS3. I play Gran Turismo, and I play it all the time, and that's it. But I'm happy. This is what I want. So
yeah, I like sim games, but Gran Turismo goes a little too far into the whole sim thing.
I do get a little bit of that hint that Drive Club might be a little more accessible. Like a little bit. Like you were saying, like Test Drive, maybe like just like one step.
Yeah.
Or maybe Need for Speed Shift, maybe somewhere around there. But yeah, so we'll see.
They mentioned like a co-op thing. They very briefly showed some kind of online functionality. It was all too quick.
Yeah.
And
it seemed very autologue. Send challenges to your friends. Yeah.
Yeah.
They were stressing the online and the whole team thing.
Yeah. So that's something we probably won't see in the next Gran Turismo, but you know, so there's that too. Yeah. Yeah, I mean that seems cool. I'm glad they're doing something other than MotorStorm, because I mean MotorStorm was okay, but I don't think anybody was clamoring for another MotorStorm.
Yeah, and one, it's kind of run its course. And two,
I mean, we did get a new MotorStorm last year, technically. That free game.
MotorStorm RC, I don't think counts.
That was MotorStorm.
That was more like Awesome. Sure. RC.
I mean, we got Uncharted Fight for Fortune, so.
Yeah, we had two Uncharted games last year, too.
Yeah.
And you haven't played either of them, Andrew?
Uncharted.
I know I haven't.
Like there was a downloadable costume for Nathan Drake and that's the Uncharted car racing game. Yep. He was also in PlayStation All Stars Battle Royale.
That was four Uncharted games.
It's a lot of Uncharted games.
They really are just flooding the markets. It's like Guitar Hero, Rock Band, all over.
Except higher quality.
Okay.
Except without peripherals.
They're not all the same game.
So the next big PS4 reveal, Andrew, one I think you're probably excited about.
I am you're talking about Infamous. I forgot the subtitle, but it's Infamous.
Second Son.
Yes, Second Son. Yes.
I need to play the first two still.
Yeah. Yes. I don't think having the third game called Second Son is a good idea, but you know what? Maybe they'll figure that out.
I mean, it's called Infamous. That's all. I mean, I don't think it matters either way.
Yeah.
It's a new Infamous on a new console. It's not like it's coming out in PS3.
Sure. Infamous. Infamous 2. Infamous Second Son.
So you're saying it should have been Third Son?
It should have been Infamous 3 Second Son.
I'd be okay with that.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. That would have been okay, too, because I don't really understand the title at all. And it's what it means.
You know
what?
I mean, yeah.
I'm assuming there's two sons involved.
We didn't see much from this. There was a really... The intro in this event was really very dark and very like it felt kind of Watch Dogs, and we saw some more Watch Dogs.
Yeah.
That's pretty good. But then he was just like, and what if in this horrible world people just started having superpowers? Like, what? Wait a second.
You
spent this like 2-minute speech, like making everyone really scared and tense, and like, oh, okay, what if people just started to throw fire? And great.
Well, I mean, to not to spoil the end of Infamous 2 for Sean, but let's just say that the way that game ends, it kind of leads up into more people having superpowers, basically. So. I think that this could be. I mean, there was a main character, like a kind of a main character, who destroyed that camera at the end. He doesn't look anything like Cole. I think he's voiced by Troy Baker, because you know Troy Baker is the new
Nolan North.
Yes, the new Nolan North. So he's in everything. But
great.
So I mean, but I'm thinking, I don't know, maybe it's just me, but I got kind of a co-op vibe from this early. Like if this is about a group of people with superpowers, I could see this being Infamous, but with friends, you know.
Yeah. Okay. Hey, I have this game. Okay, it's like it's like people. They have like they're developing superpowers, right?
All right.
And it's a group of them, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and they're in like a city, and like they do stuff.
Yeah.
And it's so that's what you want.
Yeah.
You want X-Men Destiny?
Oh God, X-Men Destiny is not open world, though.
Okay.
It's so, kind of.
So X-Men Destiny 2 is what I'm asking.
Okay. Well, that's this. So
the five right. people still working at Silicon Knights, they can get to work on that.
Yeah.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. All right, let's keep moving.
Very, very brief trailer, but I'm excited. More Infamous is good. Yes. Yeah. And then I think last, in terms of kind of the big game news, was Jonathan Blow came out on stage.
Yeah.
And he's like, hey, I'm making this game called The Witness.
Yeah.
And it's going to be a time exclusive on the PS4, which to me was kind of crazy.
Cause console exclusive.
Did he say console exclusive? Or...
Yep.
Okay, good. I was going to say,
it will be the only console on which it will appear. So,
so not as big as I thought it would be. But
yeah.
When I first heard that, I was like, oh, it's not going to be on PC at launch? He was pretty much saying PC only, for like the past years. So.
Yep.
But that is kind of big news. They finally showed gameplay or at least some kind of footage from the game.
It seemed like having him there was kind of the way to fill the void. What has made the PS3 so great is having games like, say, the ones from that game company.
Yeah.
That's not happening yet. So like, they just need to be like, all right, we need to have something like that right now. So
we need to show the
pretty great.
Yeah, we need to show the indies we care. So here's The Witness. And
Jonathan Blow talk for like way too long.
I do love that
12 seconds, which is
I do love that he got a little he managed to say a little something about the games that were shown before, of course. Yeah, that's Jonathan Blow for you. But the game itself looks really nice. Probably, to me anyway, the most impressive thing at the show in terms of the actual games, or at least the thing I'm most excited about.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, new Infamous, cool. New Killzone, cool. You know, Knack, it's cool. But
excited to at least partially control via Move controllers people looking like they're playing the music to a song? And dancing around a little bit.
Oh, you mean Wii Music 2, developed by Media Molecule.
The thing is, I think Media Molecule will make a really, really good Wii Music 2 if it wanted to.
I mean, they just got to bring... At E3, just got to bring Ravi Drums back.
He's not doing anything. So.
Yeah, he probably isn't, no.
Yeah, he's probably just hanging around. Just be like, hey, dude.
Come on. So, I mean, yeah. Witness looks cool. And then we went to tech demo stuff where... I think first David Cage came out and said, I'm making a game with a lot of polygons, and then that was about it.
Yep.
Oh, yeah, and then he showed Old Dude Face.
Yep.
Old Dude Face, very emotional.
And Molecule came out and said, polygons are, like, the worst, and they're killing everybody.
That was the greatest transition. It's like
the tyranny of the polygons.
Like, speaking of polygons, we don't like them.
They're the worst.
Polygons.
They are strangling my daughter.
Oh, God. I mean, our dreams don't have polygons, supposedly, so that's why they're the worst. Because if our dreams only had polygons, we'd have to upgrade our brains every few years to get more polygons in them.
I really wish I could upgrade my brain.
Me too.
That'd be useful.
I just need to upgrade my memory.
I need to give it new social features.
There you go.
It can better communicate with people.
Does it need streaming?
That'd be freaking good.
Yeah, you need to stream your brain live to
That'd be way easier than talking, you guys.
All right, I have a bunch to say to you guys, but I don't know how to say it. So here's just a brain stream, and you just hit with a bunch of thoughts.
Yeah.
You guys have missed the most important news out of this entire conference.
Okay.
What's that?
There's a new Final Fantasy coming. We don't know anything else about it.
Yeah.
And all we know is that it's Final Fantasy. But it is coming.
Maybe.
Continues to prove that they are kind of irrelevant by showing a demo we saw last year.
I have to say
I was impressed it was actually on a PS4.
Oh, I mean, no, the demo still.
Because I didn't think any consoles would be able to play it for quite a while.
Yeah, I mean, don't get me wrong, great demo. I can't wait to see an actual game.
Yeah.
Now, if they'd had a person controlling the girl in Agni's philosophy, that would have been impressive.
If they, say, added 5 seconds to it and then put a logo for an actual game at the end of it.
Yeah, that's what I was expecting, actually.
Yeah. Yep.
Me too.
So.
I was expecting a little bait.
And then at launch.
Yeah. And then of course, they basically say, you know, please wait. Please be excited for E3 because we'll show something there. I get the feeling Sony was like, Square guys, we gotta have something for us, right? I mean,
yeah.
we have one more space here. No one else is biting, so just yeah. And
it's like, hey, Capcom, you know you want to put Monster Hunter in here? Come on, please. Oh, what are you giving us right now? Oh, okay, so it's like a Dark Souls clone. Is that what you're giving us right now? It's like half Dark Souls, half Zombie U. Is that what it is?
Skyrim.
Yeah. So great.
It did look pretty.
It did, but
pretty much everything looks
like
pretty.
Dragon's Dogma.
Yeah, I'm just waiting for like good games. But hey, I'm getting those in the PS3 this year. So
true.
Yeah.
I am waiting for Watch Dogs because I need that game now.
Okay.
That
yeah.
did seem so, pretty.
Moving past the tech demos, which again impressive, but yeah, they're just tech demos. Watch Dogs. That game continues to look amazing.
Yeah, it looked even better this time than last time.
Yeah. I mean, they never said that game was next gen, but when we saw it at E3 last year, but yeah, it was we knew. We knew.
Yes.
I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if we get some version of that on maybe some version of that on current gen hardware when it launches. As it's supposedly coming out this year. So I think there might still be a version on current gen hardware, but
maybe. Ubisoft loves putting new IPs on new systems.
I know, but they also love releasing as many versions of those games as possible.
Yeah. More stuff.
Simultaneously, too, right?
Yeah, simultaneously. Yeah,
there's
exactly.
Got to be a new Rabbids game, too. Just put another Rabbids on that thing. Whatever. I don't know.
Yeah.
What's this one about? I don't know. How about this time they're at an amusement park, right?
That's,
yeah. Okay. Rabbids Park.
Rabbids All-Stars.
Watch Rabbids.
Yeah, it's all your favorite Rabbids from the other Rabbids games.
There you go.
You have the one that goes, wah, and you have the one that goes, wah, and then, like, trips. And then you have the one that goes wah, and then like moves his ear a little bit. So all your favorite rabbits.
And don't forget the dancing wah.
No, that one didn't make the cut. Sorry.
Aww,
only
that
the
one's my
ones.
Favorite.
Well, sorry.
We have a community poll where we vote for our favorites.
Yeah. Okay.
They
so
didn't tell me
we're
about
gonna
that.
Add back one of them, fan's choice. Right. And you vote by buying a Wii U game because please help us. We didn't sell any of those because none of those were any good.
So yeah, Watch Dogs.
Yes, let's talk about that stuff.
Yeah, Watch Dogs. I think if because my big fear with that, because I knew they kept saying it was open world at E3, but my big fear with that was that like you would go on a mission and it would be kind of there are maybe three choices of ways you want to approach the mission, but they're all kind of the same. You hack this thing, or this thing. But the way they demonstrated at this event, they showed like. You just kind of randomly wandering upon a woman getting held up, and then you pointed your gun at the guy. He ran away, and you chased him. And then you had to escape from the police, and you had to like hack different things around you to kind of manage your escape. And I mean, if that's all in an open world, and then there's some kind of multiplayer component where people can watch you through the different like security cameras and stuff, and maybe help you out by hacking different things.
Yeah,
that just I'm really excited for Watch Dogs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can say one thing. I will not be getting it on the PS3 if a PS3 version exists because of the lack of memory.
I mean, let's be honest. Again, if it does come off current-gen consoles, that's not the version you want to play.
No.
At least you want to play it on PC assuming that happens.
Yeah, PC or the next-gen systems. Because
remember all of those PS2 versions of PS3 games? Yeah.
Yeah. And then Activision with their pretty amazing upgraded ports of like games like Gun
and Tony Hawk.
Tony Hawk, and then EA with their sports stuff. Yeah, that was all.
Yeah, those were upgraded. Sports. Yeah, they were.
Yeah.
They weren't the worst
things.
They looked
nicer.
they looked nicer, and they took out all of the features and never put them back.
I was actually kind of surprised they didn't get just like a brief glimpse of this is what Madden looks on the PS4, but I guess they didn't have time for that because
I feel like that is just too pedestrian to deal with here. I feel like this was a hype meeting, and then you know we're gonna get the here's Madden, here's Call of Duty, here's I don't know, we're gonna stream Netflix some more. That's E3.
Hey, the PS3 is the number one device for Netflix streaming, besides probably your PC. That is.
Sure.
Well, I blame that on the horrible interface that the 360 has.
I blame it on Xbox Live Gold.
That too.
Yeah. Most so, guys.
Also, the PS3 has a good remote. Anyway. Yeah.
If I, you know what would be awesome? If I could play Diablo 3 on my couch.
Okay.
With local
I'm
co-op?
Listening.
With three other people sitting next to me.
Okay.
On a PS4.
Okay. How about
what
this?
What about on a PS3?
How about a PS3?
That too.
Okay. So how about both of them?
At the
same time. Actually, wait.
Oh, man.
Wait a minute.
Oh, man.
Because I could do that. I could get it on the PS3 and get it on the PS4.
You're probably going to do that, aren't you?
I just need two TVs, and I have those. I have, like, six of them, so...
Sure you have.
If I could play four players on one and then four players on another and then have them both play together, so it's eight players, I'll take four. That's three more than I had before. I had before. The PS1 version of Diablo totally played co-op.
No, well, the problem is that even on PC, Diablo 3 doesn't support more than four players in game.
Whatever. It's a special partnership.
Hey. If PS4 is the future, yes, it is. It is a special partnership. They're going to take over the world. Right?
Yeah. I can say this: I have not opened my copy of Diablo 3 on PC yet, and I'm not going to now.
Okay.
Well, there you go.
it's going to get sold somewhere or given away.
I was going to say, I'm fairly sure you're, you can't return it at this point.
No, but it's going to be sold or given away, and then I will get a PS4 version someday.
I mean, Blizzard's happy. That means you just bought the same game from them twice. So there you go.
Yeah. Probably
you didn't actually play one of them, but money.
Whatever, yeah, money. Money's pretty great.
So yeah, that's happening. I was actually kind of expecting because the rumor is that they are working on a new MMO. I don't know if that's actually going to happen. We haven't heard anything about it, but I was thinking that would be
now. So
yeah, I mean, yeah, that'll probably be on PS4 if it does happen. Yeah. But that's what I was expecting them to come out with.
I was honestly hoping to get a little bit of Gabe Newell.
Oh yeah.
Just to be like, hey, you know that whole Steam thing that we're doing? Guess what? But that didn't happen.
Yeah. He's too busy focusing on making crazy Steam box things.
Or just money.
Yes, he's printing money, yes.
Oh, yes. Shh. That's why they had to get rid of those people. Because there's space for the counterfeiting operation.
There you go. We're breaking this wide open here.
I was wondering how they're so profitable and they only sell stuff for like 75 cents.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what it is. It's,
I'm sorry.
It's like money laundering. Whoa. It's figured out.
You've been downsized. Gabe needs this office to store his extra cash.
Yep.
So, I mean, that about covers the big games and tech demos. Yeah. I think the last thing they showed was, hey, Destiny's coming on PS4, which we already mentioned, and that was... Yeah. Probably something we all saw coming.
Yeah.
But and they showed maybe another extra 10 seconds of gameplay versus the 2 seconds of gameplay we got from.
They showed someone reload a gun.
Yes. And then they shot the gun. That
Whoa.
Was that
yep.
Cool.
There's shooting in this shooter.
They're shooting and reloading.
Okay.
They are making a game that's all shooting.
Still kind of weird seeing Bungie at a Sony event.
Yeah. I mean, yeah.
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 Anyway.
But, I mean, and it's also even weirder that Bungie didn't just come out themselves. They needed Activision to announce to present them. I think Bungie's big enough to just come out on their own and be like, hey, we're Bungie.
I think this was a, hey, we're going to show Destiny, but we're going to get Activision out there just so you're all reminded that we're going to have Call of Duty on here too. Just
that's true.
To be clear,
I think they did say,
Call of Duty, probably Skylanders. Don't worry, guys. We will have the money.
They did say shooters plural, and then they announced Destiny. So I'm sure the other shooter is Call of Duty.
No kidding.
Or at least one of the other shooters. So
they're not super dumb.
No, I mean they do stupid things sometimes, but generally they know how to make money, and they continue to do so.
Yeah.
I mean, all right. So I mean, overall, really, 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 really solid event. Very, very impressed with. I was expecting to see the actual. Console, but I guess.
Yeah, I mean, we saw the controller. That's something.
Saw the controller, which I don't know how to feel about because I can't. I need to hold it.
Yeah,
I don't know how
the
triggers are. That's what I'm concerned about.
Yeah, I mean, it was basically a DualShock with the touchpad on the top.
Yeah, DualShock with.
But like, if you've seen the leak, it's very similar to what was shown there.
Yeah. Yep.
But you know, I'm okay with at this point. I'm okay with the DualShock. Yeah. I just want those back triggers to be fixed.
Yeah. Better. Well, we'll see. And I'm looking forward to hearing more, seeing more, playing it this summer. And yeah.
Microsoft has a lot to prove now, I think. I'll be very curious to see what they come up with whenever their big unveil is.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think Sony threw down the gauntlet at them this time.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And it threw it with motion control.
Yes.
Yeah. Motion control dancing.
They sculpted a gauntlet with the Move controller and then threw it down.
Yeah, then they threw it, yeah. That's what Media Molecule's been doing. They just...
Sculpting stuff.
Sculpting gauntlets and throwing them at Microsoft.
What if they made the next gauntlet and then threw that?
Whoa. I'd buy that.
Exclusive. Yeah, I would. Yeah.
It'd just be tough to play as it's, you know.
Yeah.
Careening through the air toward Redmond.
No, that's what the cloud is for.
Ah, right. Yes.
Yeah, there you go.
They threw it into the cloud and then they can pull it back down from the cloud. Okay, here's the secret. Gaikai is just an actual cloud.
Yeah.
It's just up there. If you ever look in the sky, there's a cloud, that's Gaikai.
Yeah, yeah, it's probably above you right now.
Yeah.
But remember, the fastest gaming network in the world.
Yeah, well, we'll see about that. All right, and let's move on to the rest of the news. And it's been busy, even with the Sony announcements. There's been a lot more happening, right, Sean?
It has. Apparently, everyone has decided that this year they don't want to, you know, save everything for June. So we're getting lots of announcements really early this year.
Yep.
Such as?
Well, first up, I know that Andrew and Graham and probably everyone that bought a Wii U is upset about this. But Rayman Legends has been delayed until September.
Yep. And it's no longer exclusive, right?
Yep. And it's no longer exclusive. That's not sad news. That's good for everyone else.
Well, I guess
that's
true. Sad
news is that the Rayman Legends is for the Wii is not coming out for 7 months, even though it's done.
I am wondering what's going to happen to that game, given that, from what I understand, about half of the levels, somewhere from like 30 to 50% of the levels were designed for you to be using the gamepad.
Yeah.
To Zimmer V. You go Zimmer V.
So,
I don't know how you're going to do that. I mean, is there going to be a game in 2013 with Move support? Is that going to happen?
No, they use the Vita for the pad.
Look, if they do Kinect tracking for Murphy, that's going to be the most ridiculous thing. And also the most likely thing.
Have they given an official reason as to why they're delaying it?
No,
because of the console ports.
Yeah,
the other console ports, rather.
That traditionally they release games at the same time for marketing purposes, except for PC, which was part of the statement. Like, you know, PC is different, but PC we don't care. We just release it a few weeks later and never ever market it ever. But besides that, we try to release stuff at the same time. It's like great. Except for the first Rayman Origins, say, which did not release in the same time on the Vita or the 3DS. 3DS version took like a year. Anyway, so
this news makes me angry.
But don't worry, you guys. Totally getting another demo.
Yeah. Well, hey, as we discussed, the first Rayman Legends demo was our 2012 Game of the Year, right? So I mean. Wii U's got. I mean, maybe Rayman Legends can be our multi-platform game, but Rayman Legends demo, too. True.
Yeah. Here's the thing. What they should do is they should release a demo with an in-game purchase for the rest of the levels, and that's the demo.
So just you buy the you download the demo and you can buy the full game.
Well, no. They're releasing the full game in September.
Okay.
But what you can do is you can pay, say, $60 for a level pack, right? That just happens to be all the rest of the levels. But it's not the full game. The full game, that's September.
Okay, so we won't get
still
the
demo on the title screen, so It won't be released yet. I promise.
Of 99% of the game.
No,
it'll just be a full game demo that you pay for.
It won't be the full game.
It won't be the full game.
That release
is the reason that it's being delayed. Is that it's the exclusivity was removed, so they have to work on the other consoles. So that's then they want to release that all at the same time, and that's why it's being delayed 7 months. So that doubly sucks them for Wii U owners.
Basically, no one was working on a version of this for any other system, and like from what I could tell, the developers weren't really notified significantly before.
Yeah. Considering they were kind of protesting, but they were kind of upset about it.
Is this on Nintendo? Like, if the Wii U had sold better, would Ubisoft have been like, oh, we've got, okay, there's no way we're delaying this. We've got tons of hungry Wii U owners. We got to get this out right now.
Yes, probably.
I think that's the conclusion Ubisoft wants people to draw. Yes.
But, see, this is the thing that bothers me the most. The fact that Rayman Legends was delayed, that's, you know what, games get delayed. The fact games that Rayman delayed. Legends is coming on multiple platforms, great, more people can play it. The fact that Rayman Legends was delayed, like, not even a full month before and it's finished.
Yeah, just, and it's, yeah.
Yeah, that is the, that, why? Why do you do this to us, Ubisoft?
Yeah, if Ubisoft wanted to save money on marketing, I could very well see this being, like, I feel like the company could have gone to Nintendo and said, look, we're going to make this multi-platform, and we only have a certain amount of marketing for it, so we're going to release it all at once, you know, unless you want to pay for marketing.
Yeah.
And I feel like Nintendo would have paid for marketing.
Yeah, exactly.
It's considering Nintendo is all about, we want to make the third parties bring stuff to us.
Also, Nintendo is all about, but they always say that, our system right now.
Yeah, they always say that, but it's, we gotta actually see them, you know, actions speak louder than words, and until we actually see that evidence of that, I'm not going to believe them.
Well, they're pushing Bayonetta and Wonderful 101 pretty hard.
Well,
we'll see what happens to them. I'm looking forward to those two very much,
let's
but
be
they're
clear,
not out yet.
Those are not third-party games.
Oh, they are?
Yeah, they're being published by, they're being published by Nintendo, so.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Well. Okay.
So they're acting as second-party developers, so, but, yeah.
Yeah, but still.
But still.
But still.
But still.
There's nothing in February at all. Nothing. Is there maybe a downloadable game I'm forgetting? But like, there's nothing.
Yeah, there's nothing. Even Toki Tori 2 got delayed till June. Like,
again.
Straight up nothing.
Yeah. So a couple of games, I guess. I mean, Monster Hunter 3 and Lego City Undercover. So, I mean, that's... But what? Nothing. Until E3, when they hopefully finally have release dates for Wonderful 101 and Pikmin. So that means, this is basically I'm going to play my Wii U until E3 at the earliest, which is it's probably going to be way after that.
Yeah, well, enough about this, because
Sean,
let's keep going.
Let's get to happier stuff, especially for Andrew. The Witcher 3 was announced, and it will be next generation consoles, the ones that are not out yet.
Ooh.
Sometime next year.
So not the Wii U?
They did not say anything about the Wii U.
Sorry.
Nope.
So guys, moving on
probably
from the
not.
Wii U, let's talk about if The Witcher 3 is going to come out for the Wii U.
No.
No.
That's too bad.
I'm excited about The Witcher 3 because The Witcher 2 was my 2012-2011 game of the year. You know.
Okay. Yeah. But I mean, so... It looks like it could be good when we get to the point where we know anything about it.
Yeah.
Okay.
I just want to say whenever someone says as like a bullet point for like when a game is first unveiled, they say this game is bigger than this other game that's kind of big. That worries me because that usually I don't know. That's just a weird thing. Like, do people buy games? They're bigger than this other popular game. Is that a thing? Is that really a selling point?
You're saying like for map size, right?
Yeah, because they're saying that this game is, I think, twice as big as.
I know.
I don't know. That's weird.
Yeah, it's a neat it's a selling feature that developers like to do, saying that this map is twice as big or as big or as whatever. But really, it's more to me. It's almost more about a feel. And you don't need to make it actually physically 10 times bigger than everything to feel really, really big. You know, you can yeah. make it through the design and, you know, make it feel populated and make it feel big that way. So it doesn't really sure. excite me when they say that, like, physically it's twice as big as Skyrim's map. Like, what's in there is, right. is more interesting.
I mean, there is a certain degree of, I mean, for decades now, RPGs have gone on this, like, X hours of gameplay, like yeah. a bullet point. Yeah. And I think especially now, if you're trying to market like a full price, like AAA title, there's this sense that you need to justify why it's worth 60 times as much as an iPhone game. You know what I'm saying?
If it's not, yeah, if it's not Call of Duty, it's, you know, you need something beyond that.
Well, and also, I mean, really, Call of Duty has gone a long way to be like, look how long you can play this game.
True. Yeah, true.
We're going to stretch out this progression system for a good 300 hours. Ah, yay for you. It's a better game now.
But I mean, that was really. Just, again, that was just one bullet point and a long list of bullet points.
Sure,
that,
yeah. The game will be pretty good. But
it'll
yeah.
probably be pretty
also,
good.
Also, I mean, I, like, just, I feel like if the game's not coming out this year, the size of the world, I feel, is like the one thing you probably would not have nailed down. You know, there's like a yeah. lot of work into getting the systems and the assets, and then just like at that point, when you have more time, make it bigger. But I mean, there's a certain degree of like they have to have the structure in place, I guess.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, when they actually give us more details about the game, they're going to say it's 2 times bigger than The Witcher 3.
Sure.
Look to that. Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. For more games that are revealed and we know almost nothing about. Bungie revealed Destiny.
Yep, that's a game.
That's a game.
That's a class-based first-person shooter. That's that like online.
Always online.
Yeah, that's okay.
It's ambitious.
Yeah, it. I don't know if you guys got this vibe, but it felt a little bit to me like Halo meets Borderlands. You know, like it's this outer space. You know, very, like, straight-up shooter, Halo style. Like, maybe closer to what the company has always done than I was expecting. But also, let's put classes in here and make it heavily based on, like, going around and doing things in relatively open areas with your friends who are also in different classes. Like,
kind
okay.
of MMO-y, but they never called it an MMO directly. They stress that it has no subscription fee, so there's that at least. But.
Sure, unless the online service you're using has a subscription fee.
Well, yeah.
So the PSP version has no subscription fee.
It'll be hard for Bungie to get away from Halo. I mean, I know they gave up on the Halo franchise, but you generally stick to what you know and what you do best. So for them, it's like, okay, well, we can't make a Halo game, but we don't have to get rid of sort of the knowledge we have regarding building a good shooter. So
it's going to play like Halo.
It's probably going to feel or play like at least a little bit like Halo in both sort of gameplay and look.
And I'm okay with that.
I think what they were most tired of was the Halo universe and story, not the game type.
Sure.
I think they wanted to create a new universe.
Yeah, I guess I was just hopeful that, oh, we really, really need to get away from Halo. We're tired of making Halo. We need to do something new. And it seems like it's pretty close.
I think if it was much different than Halo in terms of gameplay, Activision wouldn't have signed a 10-year deal with them.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty part of it, yeah.
Yeah, it's still like, you know, hey, you're in space and you shoot things at people.
Yeah.
Great. I guess I was maybe hoping for some sort of special sort of setting in a way, at least had a different feel, but it seems like it's going to be very similar in aesthetic.
Well, I like the environment and setting, but since we know nothing else about it other than screenshots and concept art, I'm going to reserve thoughts on the rest of it until we actually know something.
I'm going to reserve
based on
the game comes out and then we play it. How about
based on my history of concept art, basically concept art is the finished product. So if you see a good concept art, the game's going to look exactly like that and be amazing.
We should just review concept art.
I don't even know why we review finished games.
Yeah.
I'm going to give that concept art a 5 out of 5.
Well, I don't know.
I really like that concept art. I really
if you're a fan of the genre of concept art, then yeah. it's for you. Yeah, otherwise, maybe not.
Hey, you know, for a couple of games, that would have saved a lot of trouble. Yeah. Like a certain Wii game I reviewed once.
All right.
Anyway. Done. All right. Sticking with Activision, guess what?
What?
We get more figurines. Yes. And Skylanders.
Okay.
This time, instead of making them giant, there are two parts.
They're still pretty big.
Yeah, but they're two-part giants.
Yep, basically.
Instead of one part.
Split in half. Yeah.
Yep.
Shame we can't just bring go in and just to say something about this, because I don't think any of us have anything to say about this. Other than, oh, yeah, we saw this coming. Okay.
Yeah, so I actually think it's kind of interesting. I may have picked up the first game when it was super cheap, and then played it a lot, and then picked up the second game when it was super cheap, and then played it some.
Do you have multiple copies of the second game as well?
No, I only have... I only have one copy of that one.
Okay, all right.
And I did... I gave my extra console copy of the first game as to a friend as a gift.
You still have a handheld copy. Like,
well, yes, it's a completely different game that just happens to be right. the same thing.
Okay.
It honestly plays a lot more like actual like Spyro. But anyway, so the new game there are, I mean, the Swap Force figures are kind of interesting because the idea is that, like, basically the Skylander that you know is the top half, and then the bottom half affects, like, the mobility of it. And, like, so basically, like, there are ones that have, like, squid legs, and then there are ones that have, like, a wheel they roll around on. Anyway, so basically you can change how they move around, and then it also changes the name, and, like, each part keeps its own stats, which is crazy. Anyway, it's an interesting idea as opposed to last year's innovation was, hey, some of them are big, and then some of them light up, which is pretty great. Except for now, those cost $3 more because they light up. Doesn't that make them better? Because that doesn't change anything in the game, but it's okay. They light up. So this is better than that. Also, Vicarious Visions is taking over in this.
Yeah, that's an interesting call, I think.
I do like what Toys for Bob did, and I think Activision may be putting the Call of Duty model on this, letting Toys for Bob work 2 years on it. Or, you know, I don't know. But
I think, if anything, Toys for Bob is probably making the next-gen version of Skylanders.
Yeah, possibly. I personally think it would be a waste for there to be a new engine for the 360, PS3, and Wii U version this year, and another new engine for the to-be-announced consoles and things.
I don't know.
But,
they could be going with the Guitar Hero philosophy instead of Call of Duty, which is oversaturate until no one wants it anymore.
Oh, well, I mean, that's already happening. But
it is.
I mean, I do think maybe 5 years of this is probably it.
So where does the Infinity fit in then? Is that going to have longer legs, or is that going to die out around the same time?
I feel like Disney has this ability to make things, because
they do have the ability to make things.
I mean, you're right about just that. Like, they're going to sell Disney figures no matter what, and if they're Disney figures that you put on a portal,
true, yeah,
you know, so much the better. Like, it's very similar to, like, you know, the Star Wars figures that have been selling nonstop since 1977. Like, what? Yeah, I mean, you're going to sell, like, you know, Toy Story toys. Like, yeah, of course you are.
Yep.
Like. Yeah, so there's a certain degree of that. But I feel like it's a completely different game. Like, it's more of a toy, it looks like. You know, like, it's more of... The appeal of Skylanders is that it has this collection aspect more like Pokemon, and, like, these are, like, creatures that you can level up and learn moves, and it's, like, gauntlet-style gameplay and thing like that. So yeah. that part is what makes Skylanders cool. I think they can coexist, but I am not a 4-year-old, so I don't really control that market. But yeah, Flat Force seems kind of cool. It seems super expensive, so I'll probably play it pretty late. Maybe. I mean, I only got Giants when I did this year because for some reason a local grocery store chain decided to stock it as part of its holiday merchandise. And then when it was after Christmas and it's like, well, we got to get rid of all of our Christmas merchandise. Apparently Skylanders counted. So they went like 75% off Skylanders. So
that's going to happen again with Swap Force and you'll be there.
I don't think it'll do that again because there were a lot of sold below cost copies of Skylanders.
Either way, when there are cheap Skylanders, you'll be there.
Probably.
Yeah. You will. Come on.
You will be.
Yeah.
If it's cheap, you're there.
Yeah. Anyway, let's move on.
All right. Next, we have Nintendo decided to give us a bunch of information on the 3DS.
Okay.
First off, we finally got a release date for Animal Crossing New Leaf.
Yep.
It will be June 9th, right before E3.
Yep.
So you know what every journalist will be playing during E3.
Yeah. So many Animal Crossing Street Passes. It's just going to be ridiculous.
I honestly never thought of that. Now I realize how genius that was.
Yeah, well,
that's kind of amazing.
The Sean and I were there a couple years ago. We'll be there this year. We missed last year. But we were there right as the 3DS online firmware update was put out because it was put out like at the Nintendo event, and so everyone was proceeding to play like the.
Pokemon 3D.
Yep.
Pokedex 3D.
Pokedex 3D. So we got a lot of Pokedex 3D. Because you can just tell, like, you know, since everyone in the building was like a game journalist, every single person went back, downloaded the horrible, horrible, like, hotel Wi-Fi.
I never got mine to work.
Yeah. So, but it was super dumb, but Street Passes, man.
Yeah.
You don't even know. Because in the U.S., you don't Street Pass so often. Unless you're in a convention center full of game journalists, at which point everyone you go by has to have played Asphalt 3D, and that's always fun. That game has 99 Street Pass slots. I haven't put it back in since E3 2011, so I still have those 35 Street Passes for it. So I got all that ghost data.
Oh, man.
Wow.
You should check it out sometime.
Yeah. I'm totally going to do it at some point.
It's still a video game.
Yeah, it's not the worst thing in the world, but you know, it's also like the sixth best racing game in the 3DS right now, right ahead of that port of Sonic. Anyway. But yeah, so Animal Crossing New Leaf, June 9th. That's a pretty good day.
I will probably have a 3DS and I will be playing.
Yeah.
I will not be. I'll be playing Harvest Moon instead.
Okay.
Because that's how I roll.
I don't think there's a rolling action in that game. You do a lot of other manual labor, but you don't roll things, do you?
You can roll logs every once in a while, not in all the games.
Okay.
Like one or two maybe.
Okay. I'm trying to think if you roll things in Animal Crossing. I think you can kick.
You can roll snowballs.
You can roll snowballs, but probably not in June.
Yeah. Sadly not. Unless you mess with your 3DS clock.
Yeah, don't do that. All right. But yeah, all right. Second game's probably going to be good. More news.
We have a new Mario & Luigi game called Dream Team coming out this summer for the 3DS.
Yep.
It takes place in Luigi's dreams, which is why he's the hero.
Right. It's normal Mario and, like, Luigi's, like, manifestation of himself in his own dreams. This is the team.
I'm sold on this game.
I think we'll know too much about Luigi's mind after this game.
Really? Yeah. I think we already do.
Yeah.
It's from screenshots where
guys, like it's the year of himself. Luigi.
It is. It's the year of Luigi.
It is the year of Luigi.
Is he which finally is why... making a comeback? Or should we call it a comeback because he's been here for years?
He's making another
He's been
comeback.
In the background.
Don't call it a comeback.
Sorry, that was a really bad joke on my part. Always nice to see Luigi get some interest, because Luigi's Mansion never really quite picked off, I think, like they wanted it to. Or maybe they didn't really want it to. They don't want him to outshadow Mario.
Well, we're getting another one.
We're getting another one anyways.
I don't know. It's yeah.
There are a lot of people who like Luigi's Mansion, myself included.
Luigi's Mansion talk. We'll shelve that for another day. Sure. I hope that it has become more compelling than the versions I have played from time to time. But, yeah. There's still a lot of that game that is designed to be a tech demo to show off special effects of a game system. It was basically the entire point of the GameCube game was, look how transparency works!
Yeah, it's pretty
also,
nice.
Look at our fabric effects! What can we come up with? How about a game with ghosts and a vacuum? Okay, done!
Yeah!
We need to come up with a game with ghosts and a vacuum.
Ghosts and a vacuum. The game.
Yep.
That's it.
I seriously
the
think
original,
that's
the original how name for Luigi's happened. Mansion.
Anyway, but yeah, so yep.
All right. Last thing for the news is that we're getting a new Mario Golf game also for the 3DS this summer.
What?
Yeah, and I think Luigi's in it too.
I didn't hear about this. Now I may have to get a 3DS.
You should.
I have a problem with Mario Golf and being hopelessly addicted to it.
Before you move too close to it, I should say that it seems like it's going to be very close to the formula of Mario Tennis Open, in that it's going to be like a very, very much like the console version's Mario Golf game, as opposed to the, say, Game Boy Advance and Game Boy Color versions of Mario Golf, where it was this, you know, Camelot-developed JRPG where the battle system just happened to be golf.
Those games were great.
Yeah.
Sounds great. I need to play those now.
Yes.
The Game Boy Color version is actually on 3DS Virtual Console right now. It's pretty good.
Ooh.
But, yeah. The GBA version is a little more playable by modern standards. The Game Boy Color version does look like NES Open Tournament Golf, but just happens to have stuff. But it's still pretty good. Anyway, but yeah, so this version does seem like it's going to be just like straight up Mario Golf, which is fine. Just after probably an overdose of Hot Shots over the last couple years that I've been through, it what made those portable versions special. Is really the best part of those games, especially when you can connect it to a console version and bring your like trained RPG character with your stats in to the console game with like, I don't know, like a transfer pack or a GBA to GameCube link cable. Cause everybody had those, right?
Yeah.
It was really convenient. Yeah. For
yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
Anyway, but yeah, so they're making a like boring game.
I don't like Mario Golf that much. Honestly.
The only version I played was the N64 one, and I played it forever.
Yeah, I had a problem with the GameCube and the N64 Mario Golf games, so I had were very just pretty basically a perfect example of how sort of lighthearted and fun Mario can make almost anything, or at least with the right development team behind it, because I don't play golf games, but I'll play Mario Golf.
Well, I mean, the thing about like Mario Golf and Mario Tennis is that since they are Camelot games, they have a sensibility to them that is very nice to people who like, say, more traditional stuff. You know, because Camelot, it kind of came up doing Shining Force and Golden Sun and, well, the first Hot Shots Golf, but neither here nor there. But yeah, so it's a company that just kind of knows what makes good gameplay, especially over the long term. Like even the console versions had like interesting unlock mechanics and, you know, interesting choices in like how to, you know, choose what variation of your character you wanted and things like that. But anyway, yep. So is that it for news, Sean?
That is it for the big news.
All right, let's move on.
Sounds good. Let's talk about some of the games you guys have been playing this week. Let's start with Andrew. Andrew, how has your experience been with Dead Space 3? Was it terrifyingly great or horrifyingly bad?
It was terrifyingly horrifying.
I see what you did there. From your tweets, I gathered that you loved the first half, but hated the second half.
it's so much easier to talk about that game if you talk about if you split it in half. If you just split that game in half, not first the actual half. Physical disc. But
so just say like if you decapitate it.
If you decapitate, yes. If you use a plasma cutter or a line gun, if you prefer.
Well, let's hear about the first half.
All right, so well basically the first half of the game starts actually in space around.
Oh,
the,
okay.
I don't believe
it. Is the space dead or is it still alive a little bit?
The space is very much dead. The space has always been dead. I'm sorry.
I feel like if there's something there that is living or dead, it is no longer space.
I wish I could remember the line, but there is actually a part in the game near the end where one of the characters says "dead space" in a dramatic fashion, and it's kind of.
Really? But again, that's in the part that's horrible.
Yeah, that is in the second half of the game. So the first half, you were actually in these ships that kind of surround this planet where there's something that is supposed to stop these markers, the markers that are creating the necromorphs that are killing people. It's kind of a rampant, you know, problem that continues to keep popping up, even though Isaac supposedly continues to stop it, but then something else happens. So basically, Isaac is kind of dragged back into this conflict.
Okay.
After the events of Dead Space 2, and you kind of explore these ships around the planet you're supposed to go to, and that part is great because the actual exploration of these ships is just like Dead Space 1 and 2. The enemy encounters are awesome. Some of the new enemies they introduce in that part of the game are great, and actually, like, kind of the freedom they give you in that part. Like, you can go around to there are four ships, I believe. You can go around to any of them. And there are side missions they introduce, and all of that stuff is exciting. And they introduce that crafting system, which at first was kind of confusing. But the crafting system
got better.
Before
the first half of the game ended, because
yes,
okay.
It wasn't bad. It was just not. They have a tutorial, but it's not entirely clear about some of the things that you can do. But once you get the hang of it, it's great. And at first, you actually don't have a ton of materials to make new guns with, like the actual exciting guns that you'll probably end up using for.
As opposed to the boring guns, where you're shooting people, but I don't know. It's kind of lame.
Exactly. Well, when you can make a gun that is a combination of a plasma cutter and a like a shotgun for close range encounters, and it also electrifies your shots, that's pretty great. That's more exciting. That is more exciting than just a plasma cutter or just a shotgun.
Yeah, you can die one of any four ways with that gun.
Yes.
You never know how you're going to go out. Makes it more
and
exciting.
You also have a boot, which you can use to stomp things, which is always great in Dead Space. But anyway, that stuff's great. It continues to stay kind of awesome. And at that point of the game, I was like, man, this could be as good, if not better, than the first two games if it continues on this along this pace. And then you get to the ice planet. At first, that stuff seems okay because it's a change in environment. No Dead Space game has ever been basically off of either colonies in space or ships in space. So the fact is you're actually on a planet. And then they introduce human enemies. And then the game just kind of smacks you in the face with these mechanics don't work well when you're facing against humans that shoot back at you. And at that point forward, it kind of the encounters of the like the actual enemy encounters become kind of repetitive. Like there comes a point in the game where you can tell when an enemy is going to pop out of a vent, an obvious vent, or like, oh, I press this button. Oh, I guess it's time to summon the horde of enemies I have to fight. And then all the environments are so kind of drab. Like the actual planet itself seems interesting, but you end up spending most of your time in these really boring buildings, and they all look the same after a while. The weapon customization is great because you always have a chance to customize the weapons you have, and you'll have many different chances to use specific parts and specific attachments, and you'll always have different opportunities to use those. But just the way they throw the enemies at you in that game is just kind of gets boring and tedious and not why I want to play Dead Space. And then near the end, the story gets dumb in the worst way possible. Like, there's a love triangle that's, Dead Space needs love triangle. Yeah, there's a love triangle.
Andrew, so what you're saying is there's not only a change in, like, sort of setting and enemies, but in tone. I mean, it doesn't even sound like a Dead Space game by the end.
The thing is, the story never was good. Like, if there's any problem with the first half of the game, I guess it would be the story. Because it kind of starts maybe interesting. Like, it seems like it has potential, but they introduce this villain, like, because they're the Unitologists, which are kind of like the religion of Dead Space universe. They kind of worship the Markers, and they want everyone to become Necromorphs so everyone can be united. Everyone can be, you know, crazy religion. You know how they work. So everyone knows how they work. So there's basically this head of this group of Unitologists that is, he's this evil British guy, because, you know, if you're evil, you got to be British too.
Got to be British.
Yeah. So yeah, he's kind of like taunting you throughout most of the game, and he's not very interesting, and he just kind of, this game does a lot to introduce many characters, and none of them are particularly, like, interesting. And Dead Space was kind of all about being alone and maybe occasionally running into a character who, oh yeah, that they would probably eventually die off. That kind of changed with Dead Space 2 a little, but not to this degree. Once you get to the planet, you're actually almost always in communication with this large group of like scientists and other soldiers who are helping you out. And I don't know, just the story just goes in stupid directions. And the last boss fight, and what you need to do to defeat the last boss, but part of it is amazing, the actual fight, but the story reasons for it, it's look it up. I'm telling you, if you don't care about the Dead Space 3 story, look up what exactly you fight at the end of that game, and you will laugh or cry. I don't know, depending on how big of a Dead Space fan you are.
Well, have they left room open for Dead Space 4?
They have left room open for more Dead Space. I don't know if it's going to be with these group of characters or not, but they definitely didn't like completely close it off. Like there's room for sequels that kind of are set in the same universe.
Yeah, solid. There's space.
Yes, there's space. It will probably continue to be dead.
Cool.
I can guarantee that.
Or at least inanimate.
Yeah. True. So yeah.
Well, Dead Space 3. Tale of Two Spaces, then, I guess.
Yeah, one of them is less alive than the other.
Fair enough. Well,
I don't know where I'm going with this anymore. Just move on.
No, that's great. Thanks, Andrew. So next up, let's chat with our good friend and fearless leader, Graham. Graham, you have been playing a game called, is it Omerta? Is that how you pronounce it?
Omerta, is there any other way to pronounce it? It's, so the
City
name,
of Gangsters.
Yeah. The name comes from an MMO, a like text-based browser MMO that itself derives its name from this kind of term for like the like mafia code, basically, that it, like it's this southern Italian term. But anyway, it doesn't matter in the slightest. So the game itself is. So, have you played Tropico?
I know of Tropico.
I have indeed. Played, I think I reviewed played, a few of them.
Yep.
Yeah. Sean is probably our Tropico expert.
Yeah. So, the guys who made Tropico have made a game that is basically half Tropico and half Jagged Alliance. A lot of people on the internet are saying it's half SimCity, half XCOM, but that's because none of those people have played Tropico or Jagged Alliance.
Doesn't seem like XCOM at all. Yeah.
Well, continue. I mean, the idea is that you are basically running a mafia. Basically, you are a Don, and you work your way up from like just happening to get off a boat from Italy to Atlantic City, to the point where you're, I guess, running all of Atlantic City, and you do so mainly by, you know, brewing beer and liquor and selling it, and buying and selling guns and running protection rackets. And so basically you're just like, you kind of just run a business, but the business just happens to be based around prohibition and like violence, but it really doesn't matter. It's just technically what these businesses do. But the thing that makes it kind of special and different, I guess, from like the Tropico formula of like running a corrupt government, which is basically what you're doing, is that there will be like combat segments where you'll spawn like, oh, you're raiding this warehouse, but there are people there. So then you have to send in your crew of about usually four people. And basically it's like turn-based tactical with cover and action points and movement points, and characters have classes and different weapons with different ranges and power. And so at that point it turns into like a very Jagged Alliance or XCOM, if you must, style, like, you know, send your small group of people behind cover as they slowly advance through buildings and what have you to take out enemies.
Can you develop psi powers for any of your fellow men?
No, but they do have special abilities, and they don't really make any sense from like a, you know, like a standard physics perspective, that like someone would have ability to like yell and then everyone gets to move farther next turn. Like, I don't think that works. That sounds like magic.
What are the abilities to get drunk and then your accuracy goes up for some reason?
That's, well, if you get drunk, see, you have health and you also have courage. This is an actual mechanic. Is that like when you get shot, you lose courage. So like when you yes. But there are two different things, and like some attacks, like if someone shoots at you and misses, you still lose courage. If there are certain attacks that'll do a lot more courage damage, like
it speaks to the accuracy of that, because I've never been shot at, but I bet if I am, I will be less courageous.
Yeah. Right. Yep. but so there are like special, like there is at least one character that has a special move that is drinking that boosts his courage. But the idea is, if your courage goes down, you can do fewer things. Like your action points and your movement points go down.
Not to continue the XCOM comparison, but is there ever a point where one of your people can be just scared and they won't actually listen to your commands and start randomly shooting?
Kind of. If it goes all the way down, then they don't do anything.
Okay.
Which is worse.
That is worse.
But yeah, and there is like a, well, there are times when they get so scared they have zero courage that they will try to run away, which means they'll just run out of cover, and so that's bad.
Yeah.
There's not a lot of cover in this game, so that is a big deal. But yeah, so you know. The game is not that bad. It's gotten kind of a bad rap from people for its difficulty. And I kind of understand that, because the economic part of the game, not hard. It's kind of just a matter of like doing enough stuff and going through enough time to build up like enough, like, you know, breweries and speakeasies and the Don pizzerias, which just scare everyone into like doing what you want. Which is pretty great. But you know, you just build up these things, and then also you send your mobsters out on tasks that take time, which to me just reminds me so much of like all those like mafia, like Facebook and iPhone games, where it's just like send them out and then wait 12 hours and they'll come back and they'll have done it. Well, it's kind of like that, except for faster. But like it still has that mechanic of send this guy out to build this, send this guy out to deliver the beer. Like it's just what you do. But I don't know. It's got an interesting atmosphere. If you give, you know, given that it is super stereotypical, because like the Irish guy is the one who's always drunk and has the like drink to gain courage power. Yep. And yep, and he when it's his turn, he like each character has, you know, his own little sound bank during combat, and when it's his turn, he hiccups.
Considering the fact that the Tropical games have never been the most politically correct games around, I'm not that surprised.
Yeah, but yeah, so it's not, you know, I can't give it like, you know, seal of approval, but there are interesting things there. Especially it's weird because there's this game that's like a game about like illicit activity and like breaking the law and being part of the mafia, but the closest comparison I can make to it is A Kingdom for Keflings. I don't know if you've played that, or World for Keflings.
I have.
Or,
that's an interesting comparison.
Or Akimi Village on the PS3. But basically, those are, you know, real-time strategy kind of management games that, like, there's no real enemy, and it's just a matter of, like, taking the time to get the resources to build up things, to make people into stuff, to do more stuff, to build more resources, and it's just kind of like, I'm going to build stuff for a while. And that's kind of what these games are, except it's the Mafia.
So, well, people who like Tropico really like this game because of the kind of the management aspects.
Look, if you like Tropico, this is the next game from the Tropico people, and it's kind of like a spinoff of Tropico. So you'll probably like it. And if you like Jagged Alliance, then you may be in, because they're fans. And, you know, I think it hews very close to that formula, because Calypso also published the most recent Jagged Alliance game. But yeah, so like, if you like those games, clearly, and then also I will say, there is an Xbox 360 version of the game, which is actually the one I reviewed. It may not be the ideal way to play those things, because, you know, there's a certain amount of, you know, they're kind of designed for touch interfaces and things like that. But the controls are actually fairly competent. They, you know, map a lot of, like, bring up a menu with, you know, left trigger, right trigger, so that there's kind of modifiers, so everything's at your fingertips all at once. And once you play for hours, then you're just kind of in on it. And, you know, if you only have a 360, there's not that many options for, like, strategy and management games there.
That's true.
That, like, especially when you're drowning in them on the PC. So it's I like that they do that. And this, it's competent. So, you know, if you want to dip your toes in something, clearly play XCOM first. But then, then yeah. maybe Omerta City of Gangsters is for you.
Very cool. All right. Thank you, Graham. And last but certainly not least, Sean, you have been playing Generation of Chaos Pandora's Reflection.
I have.
To me sounds like a name where they just sort of take three or four words that sound good and just throw them all together.
Those are most game titles.
Yeah.
At least this time there are actual words instead of made up words.
Like,
like I remember, what was it, 2 years ago? Artonelico Koga Nell of Arseal, which was...
Oh, it just rolls off the tongue, doesn't it, Graham?
Yeah, most of those words are legitimately made up words. They gave them definitions, but they made them up.
Yeah.
I can say that I haven't found out if the Pandora's Reflection part is accurate for anything in the game, but it's definitely full of chaos.
Yep.
And there's a generation of people there.
Yeah. Yep.
So, yeah, that part works.
Right. So,
but here's the deal. It's a PSP game.
Yep.
That is coming out, or that is just now out. And it's from, what, NISA?
Yep.
Yeah. It's interesting.
Okay.
I think they're not expecting to sell much of it. But
I wouldn't think so. Simply because the last game was not, I don't think, that popular. I actually reviewed it for the site in like May 2007. That was the last release. It was also a PSP game. Aedis Eclipse, Generation of Chaos. The first Generation of Chaos was also a PSP game, like a year before. So there hasn't been a new one in 6 years.
All right.
So
that
says something.
It does. Although I'm not entirely sure why it's not a little bit more popular here. Like, I had never even heard of it, and I love JRPGs. But it's...
Maybe that's why.
Yeah, well, so, as I understand it, Pandora's Reflection has a whole new battle system.
That might be.
That, basically, Sting is heavily involved in the development of this, and they're mostly busy with their Department Heaven stuff. And I think... In the intervening years since 2007, Sting has gotten super weird. You know, making stuff like Nights in the Nightmare.
And, that was weird.
You know, Gungnir was actually kind of straightforward for them. But yeah, so there's a lot of, I think, like action based battle systems. Seemed from what I saw of the game that there's kind of like a rhythm aspect to like doing more damage.
There is a little bit of it. It's actually. You guys all, did any of you guys play Ogre Battle on the Super Nintendo or the N64?
I loved Ogre Battle 64, for sure.
It is extremely like that as far as the battles go.
Yeah.
You have your party and they have their party, and there's these points on the map that you can capture or occupy. And capturing some of them lets you release more units. And destroying some of their spots that let them do that gets rid of some of their units. And when they walk around in real time on the map, when they hit each other, a battle starts. It's one attack for each player. You get to pick from the... Each player can, or each character can hold one or two, or sometimes three, weapons. And then it's like rock, paper, scissors to determine which one you want to use versus what their guy has. And yeah, there is a little bit of rhythm for the attack. Whenever your guy attacks, there's a little, animation thing that shows up. You have to hit the button at the right time in order to trigger the possibility of doing a follow-up attack from one of your nearby allies.
Hmm.
And I have actually managed to string four or five of those together, so the guy was completely toast.
Nice.
Nice work.
Yeah, yeah. I can only imagine what someone who actually has rhythm would be able to do.
Hey, I have rhythm. I'm a musician, man. I just can't dance.
Oh, okay. You've got rhythm. You've got music.
You've got music.
Yeah.
Oh, jeez.
But yeah,
I thought I was
so
the only person that saw that movie.
I know you need more time with that, your review will be up next week.
Yeah, I haven't learned much about the story yet, but I'm really digging the battle system so far.
Yeah, cool. Great.
It is playable on the Vita. So
yeah, okay.
There's that.
And with no delay this time, which is good. I think we've gotten past that point, which is great.
It's very good. I got the code, put it in, and it downloaded on my Vita immediately.
Yeah.
Nice.
All right.
On the Vita, what else are you doing with it?
I've been going back and playing Persona 4 some more a little bit.
That's basically.
That's about it. Yeah.
You know. Yeah. It's
no wake up club for me.
Yeah. Oh, right. Hey, there's also Hakuoki Warriors of the Shinsengumi,
which also rolls right off the tongue.
Yeah. I will never try to say that name.
Is that really how you pronounce it?
Shinsengumi Hakuoki. Warriors of the Shinsengumi. Yeah, sure.
Keep saying that, that's great.
No,
I don't know why.
No problem. Lucas is actually reviewing that for us, and we'll have something up next week about that. All right, so I think that'll about wrap it up for now. This was certainly a packed, news-packed episode. Next week, we will get back to maybe something resembling our normal format. We'll have some talk about some big games finally coming out. Not Rayman, but we will be able to talk about Metal Gear Rising: Revengeance. Andrew's been playing that already, but we want to have a good conversation about that. For Henry, Sean, and Andrew, I'm Graham. See you in 2 weeks.
Thanks for listening to the Snack Bar Games Podcast. Follow us on the web at snackbar-games.com or on Twitter @snackbargames.